The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line today, another Green Future programme where we're looking at what's going to happen in the future. Our green world, it's a very kind of wide sweeping term for it all, but one of the points about our green future is, where's the energy come from? We're told that the energy that we're using at the moment is very dirty, very carbon heavy, and we shouldn't be using it, so what are we going to do? 7 minutes past 12, and this started a few weeks ago when Graham Foxhume dropped a note into Man in Line. Graham Foxhume is with us, with Fred Gray. Graham, you dropped a line in about geothermal energy. Tell us why.
Well, it seems the way to go on the island. As far as I'm aware, this island, and my background, by the way, is geology and geophysics, the island is underlain, as is quite large parts of the UK, by red-hot granites. You only have to drill down into them, and the drilling technology is available. You don't even have to reach them, in fact, but the drilling technology will allow you to circulate water through them and produce high pressure and high temperature steam at the surface.
Okay. You mentioned you were you've been in the business a long time, geophysics and geology. You were with Shell, is that right?
I was with Shell, yes. I worked overseas with Shell for 25 years.
Okay. Your colleague is Fred Gray. Fred, you were with Shell as well. What was your speciality with Shell?
Well, I graduated with a mechanical engineering degree, but I specialised in thermodynamics. I was an engineer with Shell and then project manager. So I manage quite a lot of the major oil and gas projects. And Graham and I were colleagues in Brunei in the 80s, and we met back here when we moved to the island 10 years ago. And he just happened to mention granite below the surface, and I thought, hello, what about geothermal energy? Because I knew there were power plants around the world using geothermal energy. And, well, we eventually, Graham, you know, contacted you, and we've just taken it from there.
And here we are. You contacted the Chief Minister, didn't you?
I sent letters to the Chief Minister and his predecessor last year, and the year before. Didn't get a reply. And then when we picked up again, we talked to Barry Redfern of Manx Radio, and he said, well, why don't you send it again? Because he checked with the public relations people in the government, and they couldn't find trace of the letter that I sent, or the letters that I sent. So we sent another one, which should have arrived on the Chief Minister's desk on Tuesday.
Fred, because we don't have it on the Isle of Man, and because geothermal happens in other parts of the world, to some people it seems a bit outlandish. Could you demystify what geothermal is?
Well, basically, as Graham said, you pump a high-pressure water down into a well, you bring it back up another well, and in the most simplest terms, you can then reduce the pressure and the water will turn to steam. And you put that through a steam turbine, which drives a generator, which produces electricity. There are other technologies available as well, and one of them is being used in the United Downs Deep Geothermal Power Project in Cornwall, which is due to come on stream this year. And what we are trying to do is push the government here to go and have a look at this and do a feasibility study, because if it can work in Cornwall, there's no reason why it can't work here. And then you've got hundreds of years of energy available with no cost for the fuel.
Which, when I hear that phrase, no cost, Graham, it sounds too simple. This sounds too easy. Is it that straightforward?
Well, there is a capital cost, of course, initially to get things started. But once you've got the energy, the steam and everything coming out, there is no additional cost for the energy.
So where does the cost lie in the... I mean, obviously, as the process goes on over the years, where is the cost?
Purely, well, there will be maintenance, of course, obviously.
Maintenance, personnel, things
yes.
like that.
Yeah. Yes.
And... given everything, given an even keel and a good wind, this can go on for how long?
Hundreds of years. the energy source is virtually unlimited.
Why don't you think the Alemán government's running at this, Fred?
I think they're looking at... The UK has never had a geothermal project, and so it's not really been raised until this Cornish one. I think they've been zeroing in on the alternatives such as wind power and power from the sea and that sort of thing. And maybe they've just never heard of this type of power station, geothermal power station. And we just want to highlight it, and we really just think they need to do a feasibility study to see if they can make it work, which I am about 99% certain they can.
Okay. Bonzo, you're live with Graham Fox, Fox Hume and Fred Gray on Man in Line. Hi, Bonzo.
You well, and good afternoon, gentlemen. I hope that satisfies Tommy's etiquette requirements, which he was stating a couple of days ago. Yes, so I think for the gentleman, it's three quite short questions, which I know may have quite longer answers. Firstly, how long would it take to bring a geothermal power project line on the Isle of Man? Two, how much would be the capital cost of doing that? I forget my third question.
Well, let's go on with that. First of all, how long and how much? Who wants to take that, Fred?
If you got after it. And by the way, we are meeting with Kroger tomorrow. They are very interested in this. I would think, without any real difficulty, you could have this on stream by the end of this decade. Not a problem.
So by
2030?
2030 it could be. And how much would it cost?
We're not quite sure, but it'd certainly be, it would be, in my view, no more expensive than a wind farm offshore.
Right. Okay. This is one important thing I want to get out of the way now. Do either of you have any commercial stake in any of this?
No.
So you're not selling anything?
No.
You're just two retired professionals who think this is a good idea?
Yes.
Okay. Bonzo, what was your third question?
Yes, my third question. Who would bear that cost? Would it be a would it be a private concern, or would it be something that would be thought that Manx Utilities should be the capital cost?
It would be MUA.
So the Manx Utilities.
With perhaps a partner with companies. The Cornish project has three or four different partners in there as well. So there's private money and there's public money in it. But it would be project managed, in my view, by MUA.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else, Bonzo?
Well, yes. I think you're saying to the end of the decade.
Yes.
Well, in order to bring it on stream, whereas other alternatives, such as onshore wind and solar, can come on stream much faster than that. You're also talking about the capital cost of that being that of an offshore wind farm. Now, I've never suggested, and others have never really suggested, that the Isle of Man itself get into the offshore wind farm business, except in the case for actually getting the seabed leasing revenue, which is considerable. And the idea, I think, that the capital cost should be even in a joint venture for that, if it's a capital cost per megawatt near that of offshore wind, that would then be borne by, in part, as a joint venture or indeed wholly by MUA. I think that's a non-starter.
I don't agree. What you would have is a reliable source of energy, unlike offshore wind farms, where the offshore wind farms in the UK operate for about 25% of the time. So it's one day in four. So what do you use for energy for the other 3 days? This would give you the equivalent of a fossil fuel-powered power station, a very reliable source of energy for the Isle of Man in the future. Wind farms are not.
Well, I think that's a moot point, in that wind farms, of course, can have their electricity stored by various means. So, you know, that's not exactly comparing apples with oranges. But, as I said, for offshore wind, my argument, particularly for the adoption of offshore wind and for Isle of Man getting into contracts for difference so that such an offshore wind base can be built, is the actual seabed leasing. I mean, the seabed block next to the Crogger block, for example, that was auctioned by Crown Estates and is now producing £200 million leasing revenue per year for 10 years. We could lease our block for half that. You know, that, I think they probably got that at sort of top of the market. But that would produce £1 billion over 10 years, which the Manx Exchequer sorely needs in order to do the climate adjustment and the just transition, and also to meet the cost of living crisis and other things.
Okay.
So
I don't see them as they could not be complementary. But if you want a reliable source of energy for the island, we need to look at geothermal.
Okay, Bonzo, thanks for that today. I was going to say, you're not against other forms of energy, of alternative energy. You see this as complementary.
I see this as complementary to other things that are happening. One of the other things that you could do, if you have a geothermal power station here, if you generate excess electricity, you can then produce hydrogen, which you can use as a fuel to power cars, trucks, buses and everything else, and even your home boiler.
A note in from John who just said, we want all of this. We need wind and solar. We need gas. We need geothermal. The whole island could be funded by energy generation to export to others. The issue is who pays for the capital investment. Gas is the only one that isn't needing massive taxpayer funds at the moment. Obviously, this is the Kroger thing at the moment. I mean, do you see, because society has been so focused on the petrochemical industry for long and also the internal combustion engine, we are moving to a new future, Graham. I mean, can you see the light? Can you see where we need to go?
Yes. Yes, I can. I can indeed see that. My concern, of course, with the offshore concept of wind farms is that there are huge environmental impacts which are also not really recognised, insofar as these things need heavy maintenance. They have to be rested on huge concrete blocks which you can't remove when they've had the end of their useful life. And also, they kill seabirds. So they have an impact that's quite beyond just the idea of having easy electricity.
Why do you think the world's rushing towards wind power then, Graham?
Well, unfortunately, and I have to say this a little tongue-in-cheek, but the green movement doesn't understand it.
I think it was either Graham or you who used the phrase scientifically illiterate. What do you mean by that?
Well, they don't. Most of the green advocates are not scientific, have no scientific background. They merely parrot the views and expressions of other people, without having the background to be able to be discerning about it. And so they push for all these strange power sources without really realising the science behind them.
OK, Dave Quirk's with us. Dr. Dave Quirk is on the line from Denmark. You've been on the programme before talking about wind power. What's your opinion of geothermal, Dave? Oh, we've lost Dave Quirk. In that case, I want to go to Steve Crowther, who is with us. Steve, this was in your manifesto, wasn't it?
It was, yes, absolutely, Andy. In fact, I know Fred, actually, because I did actually speak to him because I was putting together, you know, obviously, as you know, I have worked very hard as an architect on an eco house. So the environmental front was, you know, a big part of my manifesto. The key to me, Fred's absolutely right, there is a key here to providing, you know, much cheaper energy. And I just want to refer to something that people have, you know, forgotten since the last election. There was a report done by Ove Arup. It was a huge investment by the government to weigh up our future in terms of energy. Obviously, this is a moving target at the moment, particularly with the Russian situation. But they did highlight, one of the main highlights was the use in terms of our transition. The key word is transition. The main aspect here was being able to use, you know, using what we call cyclic change of power from oil to hydrogen. And the great benefit of having constant electric, which you can then churn into the production of what we call green hydrogen, means that, you know, you can aid this transition to get into a green environment. And clearly, that's where the Isle of Man needs to be in the next 5-10 years, be a reputation internationally.
And you think geothermal will play a big part in this, Steve?
Absolutely. That's why I put it at the leading front of my manifesto. I could see the point that it's much more reliable. There are less environmental constraints to it. There are one or two other considerations to remember. It could be more vulnerable to seismic activity, but we don't get a lot of that on the Isle of Man, but you have to just don't put all your absolute eggs in one basket, sure.
Steve, you must have knocked a lot of doors when you were standing for keys. Pardon the pun, but it wasn't a hot topic, was it, geothermal on the doorstep? What did people understand about it?
No, they didn't, and obviously it was in the manifesto. I didn't, you know, the main aspects in the election were affordable homes, which is something that, you know, I was my leading edge, because it's something that I've worked on. But you're quite right, the production of energy, where that's all changed, Andy, just in the last month, is that people have realised their vulnerability in terms of energy production and reliability. And that's changed the entire topography, hasn't it? People have realised that they're now vulnerable. And let's be honest, over the next few years, that's going to be the main leading question. Where are you going to get your energy? Are you going to be cold? How do you run your industry? And the key aspect for the Isle of Man in the future was that if you want investments on the island, you must make sure your green credentials are correct. Whether people want to call it greenwashing or they don't like this or don't like that is irrelevant. The point is that, whether you call it a fashion, the point is that if you're not green, wrapped in green, selling green, you're going to be right at the bottom of the marketplace.
Okay. All right, Steve, we appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us today.
No problem.
All right. Let's just go back to green credentials, Graham Fox. How green is geothermal?
Almost totally. The only non-green part of it would be the actual installations, the drilling and things like that. But even the drilling of the holes is not a big problem in terms of making an influence on the landscape and all that sort of thing.
You drilled for a living, Fred, I take it, for how many years?
I didn't actually do the drilling. I did the engineering part. I was with Shell for 30 years. Yeah.
Okay. You still wore a hard hat. So tell us, how much drilling would there be needed on the Isle of Man?
If we just look at the Cornish project, they've got an injection well and a well to reproduce the water to the surface. And that well is about 5,000 metres deep. So I would see it be a similar sort of thing here on the island. You could probably get away with two wells. But again, you'd have to get people like Kroga or MUA involved, look at the feasibility, and you probably need to put a pilot well in anyway to find out what the actual temperatures are down there, because we don't really know. But we do know, as per Cornwall, it's going to be quite hot.
You've mentioned Cornwall half a dozen times. Is that the key to this, that we need people from the Manx government to go to Cornwall to see what's happening?
Yes, absolutely. Now, I would be surprised if, when we talk to Kroga tomorrow, that they don't fast-foot it down there themselves.
Okay. Right, a quick message from the phone.
I've just been listening to the Manning line, and I've just heard Andy Wint talking about the guy that's coming on that wants to do the drilling in the rocks for this new stuff they've discovered. And I heard him on the radio last week, I think it was. And the only thing that's occurred to me, and I'm no expert by any means, but I remember not that long ago, quite a few years ago now, there was a lot of drilling being done in the northwest, and it was called fracking, I think. And there was a lot of controversy about whether it was causing not earthquakes, but some sort of disturbance in the earth. And I think they stopped doing it. I haven't heard the end of it. And I just wondered, is all this drilling that's been talking about for various reasons and for various things, is that the same thing? Could that have the same effect on the earth around the Isle of Man? Because that would be a big concern, I think, if it did.
I thought the F word would come up, Graham Fox Hume. Is it fracking?
No, absolutely not. It has absolutely nothing to do with fracking whatsoever.
Okay, but fracking involves pumping stuff down at high pressure, doesn't it?
Yes, basically, yes. But it also involves explosives, even at great depth, to break the formations. In this case, we are merely drilling into a formation and then circulating the water through it to extract the heat. There is no fracking involved whatsoever. And if I just may say, the earth tremor problem with fracking is highly overstated. You can't barely, in the areas where they've done it, you really can't tell the difference between that and just natural earth tremors that occur all the time anyhow. You get more problems from old coal mines collapsing than you ever get from fracking.
A message in from Brian, who just said, in my head, I said, I've not seen, because we're streaming on YouTube and Facebook, he said, I've not seen images of the two gentlemen, but they sound like two very, very well-meaning middle-aged scientists who are doing this out of curiosity. This is amazing. In this day and age, you two have got no, as they say, skin in the game. They're not in this for the money. So tell me, Fred, why? Why are you interested in this? Is it just because you know the subject?
I've made my home on the island. I like it here. I'd like to see it, have a reliable source of energy for the future so that we can leave something. And by the way, we're not middle-aged at all. We're a lot older than that. And it's just, we would like to see the government do something to look at the geothermal energy situation, because we can make this work and we can have a really reliable source of energy for the future.
Okay, we're Man in Line today with Graham Fox Hume and Fred Gray. They're specialists in geophysics and geology. Both used to work for Shell, were employed at senior positions in the oil industry, and hold many, many qualifications, more than I can mention now.
Fly with Loganair from the Isle of Man to London City up to 10 times a week, and from the 3rd of May, London Heathrow up to 7 times a week. With 15 kilograms luggage allowance as standard and frequent flyer rewards.
Fly with me. I want to take you there. Precious moments of this journey. To where homeward bound again.
Book now at loganair.co.uk.
For your new bathroom, head to Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Paysetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Paysetter's, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Paysetter Harris Terrace Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of everything, where the price is twice as nice.
You want how much? 1% commission? That's £2,000 to sell my house. That's it. I'm seeing red.
Sick of huge commission fees? Don't get mad. See red. With CG Red, the new service from County Groves, you can sell any house up to £350,000 for a fixed £750 fee. That's a saving of up to £2,750 on what you'd pay with a traditional estate agent.
So go on, see red. Visit cgred.im. They're giving other estate agents a darn good thrashing.
Millichats of Ramsey.
Sometimes you need to roll out an extra bed. Millichaps have a wide range of affordable and superior single and double fold-up beds, along with guest beds, pillows and bedding. For an extra bed in seconds, visit Millichaps of Ramsey today.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Millichaps of Ramsey.
This weekend with Manx Radio, if you can guess who's coming to dinner, you could be going to dinner at the Manin Hotel. Check out the Manx Radio Facebook page this Saturday and Sunday and see if you recognise the celebrities in our carefully camouflaged photos. Then be listening across the weekend. When you hear the cue to call, text your name and the name of the celeb to 166177 for your chance to win dinner, bed and breakfast at the Manin Hotel in Douglas. With the winners drawn on Monday's Manx Radio Breakfast. Guess who's coming to dinner? Another winning weekend this weekend on your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mind, 29 minutes before one on Manx Radio. We're talking to Graham Foxhume and Fred Gray about geothermal on the Isle of Man. And Dave Quirk is on the line, a visiting scientist at the Danish Technical University in Copenhagen, Manxman and a member of the Isle of Man's Energy and Sustainability Centre. What's your view on geothermal, Dave?
Hello, Andy. Just to say, I'm talking on behalf of Manx Geological Survey, by the way. So, the Isle of Man has many advantages that would make it self-sufficient in power for electricity, heating and transport. Unfortunately, geothermal is not one of them. As geologists, we're sad to say that the geology rules it out. The reason is really that what you need is high temperature at relatively shallow depths, and you need some water to carry the heat to surface, and neither of those are the situations in the Isle of Man. The temperatures increase relatively slowly below the surface as you descend, and there's very little water, no aquifers or fractures. So it's really like trying to have wind power for electricity in the Sahara.
Is this something you'd looked at before, Dave?
Yes, we've been looking for many years for thermal springs, which would be enough to, if you've got something like Buxton, the thermal spring at Buxton, you might have enough to power a couple of houses or a swimming pool, but that doesn't exist. And, the rocks very rapidly become the Manx slate, and that is not suitable for geothermal.
Okay, Fred Gray?
Well, I totally disagree, because the latest technology using binary cycles actually doesn't need very hot water. And we are talking not about hundreds of feet below the surface here. The Cornish scheme is as well as 5,000 metres. And that's what we are looking at.
So 5,000 metres?
Yes. That's the well, the production well. And if they can do it in Cornwall, we really don't see why we can't do it on the island.
Dave Quirk?
Yes, so the Cornish project is obviously experimental. It's a pilot, a test. And the problem they have there, they've tried it many times. The problem is you can't get the water to flow. So they've tried fracturing it, so it hasn't worked very well either. So they're having another attempt. It's funded by the EU. But what you need is a large volume of water, and you need to get to a temperature rather quickly. I mean, we see images like Iceland, where it's volcanic. Now, the Isle of Man was volcanic 350 million years ago. That would have been a great time for geothermal energy. Unfortunately, not nowadays.
Okay, Graham?
I don't know where to begin. basically, of course, we are not... we're circulating water. The water is coming from the surface, not from the rocks themselves. It's circulated through tubing down into the hot layers. So, you're not relying on local water coming out of the ground. You circulate surface water.
And it's 5 kilometres they're drilling down in Cornwall.
Yes.
But what's the bore of this? How wide is the drill?
I actually have no idea.
I couldn't find that information.
Is it big? Is it?
No, they're not big bores. You're talking inches rather than feet.
Okay. Oh, yes. But I couldn't find that information. All I could find about the Cornish scheme was it's not mentioned as a sort of experimental thing, but it's due to come on stream this year. They're due to build, I think it's 4 stations producing 20 megawatt.
It's a company called Ecotricity. They've signed an agreement for geothermal with the Geothermal Engineering. This is a power purchase agreement, which sees the supplier distribute 3 megawatts of base load to customers through the national grid 24/7. It's the UK's first deep geothermal power plant. So,
yes. Well, why can't it be done on the island?
Okay, Dave Quirk?
Yeah, so what you need is fractures, and you need to circulate quite a lot of water to pick up the heat. The problem is that the temperature doesn't increase quickly enough on the Isle of Man. You'd have to go to probably like 6 or 7 kilometres depth, And the cost of drilling to that depth is immense. You need a huge amount of funding for it. And then you don't get enough water back. You know, however you do it, whether you're getting water from the subsurface or you're circulating it, you're talking about, you know, liters per second, not you would need cubic meters per second. And then you need either a expensive power plant or you need a district heating scheme, both of which are pricey. It's just not the place. You know, what the Isle of Man does have is assets of wind and sun. The Isle of Man is not a hot place and it doesn't
Okay, Dave, could you just give us details of your website? Because I know it's a very interesting website with lots of information on it.
Yeah, so that's www.manxgeology.com. And we also have the Energy and Sustainability Centre, which you can just find by searching.
Okay, so it's manxgeology.com and the Energy and Sustainability Centre. Okay, we appreciate that, Peter. Dave, thanks for calling us today. And I want to go to Peter, who's with us. Chairman, is it Quarry Battery you're at, Peter?
That's the name of the company, yes.
Okay, well, you're live with Fred and Graham.
Right, Fred and Graham. I'm chairman of a company that is developing a £150 million pumped hydro plant in North Wales. And we've done a lot of looking at geothermal. You're absolutely correct about the technology and that it works. If you go to Iceland, you can see steam coming out of the ground all over the place. The challenge that we found in trying to develop geothermal in the UK was it was almost impossible to get financing. And the reason it's very difficult to get financing is, unlike wind, where you know how much the wind is going to blow without having to drill a massively deep well or incur a lot of capital expenditure. The Eden project, which is the one that you're talking about, I believe is in hotter rocks than where we are. If you've got to go down 6 or 7 kilometres, that's about 4.5 miles. You've got to drill 2 holes, so you've actually got to drill 9 miles of borehole and some borehole to join them up to collect the heat. And the problem is the banks will not lend money and no one will take the risk of financing that. If we're going to do it on the Isle of Man, the only way you're going to do it, I suspect, is for the government to step up and meet the capital cost of doing that with the risk that is incurred in it.
Okay, Fred.
Why wouldn't the government do it? If you're going to get a really reliable energy source, I would think you're not talking about 10 years or 20 years, you're talking about centuries that this resource will be available.
Okay.
And why would you not do it?
What was the deepest well that you've been responsible for with Shell?
15,000 feet.
15,000 feet. So, I mean, Graham, and again, we're in new territory here all the time, but that amount. Now, where do you think that geothermal, a borehole could be? Where would you be drilling them on the Isle of Man? Presumably not near population centres, out at sea. Where would you put it?
Well, you could even, yes, indeed, you could have the drilling rig operating offshore because the well would be directional.
Yeah.
From that rig, and then all you would have is a couple of pipelines coming in on below the seabed, and up onto the shore to bring the steam and the hot water onto the island.
Would this make Pullrose Power Station redundant? By the way, a geothermal project.
No, it wouldn't, because you'd bring the source of heat into the power station.
How close could you have a borehole to Pullrose, Fred?
Put it this way, if we had a drilling rig sitting on this building here, the drill bit could be underneath Castleton.
Really?
Yes.
Well, again, I'll just bow to your superior knowledge.
It's a deviated drilling.
A deviated
and
drilling.
And nowadays, it used to be straight to vertical wells, but over the last 20 years or so, they've developed deviated drilling. And I think the longest outstep is something like 12 miles. BP, I think, have done something. BP have developed a field in the south of England that's offshore, and they've done the drilling from onshore.
Okay. Peter, tell us just a bit more about your project.
To keep the... One of the problems of renewable energy is the wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine. So increasingly, there has got to be ways in which you can store the energy that is kept, that is being generated. If we're going to do without gas or carbon-based fuels. And so it's taken us 8 years to raise the money to do what is a relatively simple and proven project. People should not underestimate the challenge of raising money to do high capital expenditure projects.
Peter, what was the what was the expression on the face of the bank manager when you proposed this, first of all?
It wasn't so much a bank manager, it was more specialist infrastructure funds. And we tramped the streets of London and Paris and Copenhagen for a long time. And their attitude is, why should we do this when we can do wind, for which there are strong government subsidies? There are no subsidies on the Isle of Man to do this.
Okay.
And similarly with offshore wind on the Isle of Man.
Okay, we appreciate that. We wish you well in your ventures, Peter. Thanks for calling us today.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that. I want to go to Andy now. Andy, you're live with Fred and Graham on Man in Line today.
Hi, yeah, it's Julian. Hello to you. Hello to Mr. Foxhugh and Mr. Gray. You've answered some of the bits I was going to ask, actually, but I've got a couple of other ones that might be of interest to you. Are you aware or have an opinion on the new millimeter wave drilling technique from the likes of Quaise Energy, where they're basically, instead of having a drill bit, it's firing radio waves basically at the rock below?
Okay, Graham?
Yes, we are aware of that. And that's certainly something that would be of extreme interest here. Don't forget, you don't use it all the way down. It's something that you use towards the end of the drill. But by the same token, yes, it's using microwave energy to drill holes. It's quite amazing.
I would imagine that would probably be a bit quicker as well, because you haven't got to constantly keep pulling up the bits to replace them, because you just keep going. You haven't got the cost of the drill bit replacement as well. What's your opinion? The Isle of Man is the only whole nation UNESCO biosphere. So would geothermal impact the island's biosphere status a lot less than other proposed ideas like wind turbines and solar panels?
Fred Gray?
I would expect so, yes. Because basically, when you've actually drilled the well, there's not much to see. And then you just have a power station like Pill Rose or whatever. So I would suspect that, yes, it's better environmentally than other forms of renewable energy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a great picture of Southampton. You know, they have their geothermal system. And I think if you Google an image of Southampton District Energy Scheme or whatever it's called, it literally just, it's right next to, I think it's a bed shop or something. It's right in the middle of town. It just looks like this innocuous red top building that just keeps generating power, I think, for the last 36 years, which is interesting.
But they've been at that, I think, for 40 years, Julian. It was the 1980s, I think, they started drilling for that. How big is that system? That's a heating system, isn't it, in Southampton?
Yeah, it's district heat, I think. So it provides, I think it was for a 53-acre shopping centre. You've got the Royal Hampshire Hospital. You've got private and public housing in the area. And I think it was a fairly smallish one. I think it was equivalent to around about 7 megawatts of heat energy or something. But it's been, I think it's just never stopped. It's been going for 36 years and it just keeps going. By the way, one thing that you mentioned the other day, Andy, was that we're ignorant of geothermal. But I noticed back in 2015 at the COP21 conference in Paris, the Global Geothermal Alliance was formed under the auspices of the United Nations Framework Classification, which I think is where they try to sort of standardize how different energy systems are implemented and how countries sort of think about that. It seems odd that there's no mention of it on the Green Party's manifesto, when actually COP21 would be a kind of a big ticket for them to know about Global Geothermal Alliance. It seems that we haven't had much in the way of knowledge of that, but we have of the other couple of candidates, okay, namely the wind and the solar.
All right, Julian, thanks for calling us today, Julian. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much for your time. Cheers.
All right, it's a quarter to one now. Tony?
Andy, this is Tony B from Ramsey. Just a comment on what you've been talking about, Hot Rock. I suggest that rather than listen to people and not understanding what's going on, lots of people need to go and look at the websites that exist for Camborne School of Mines. They were the ones who pioneered hot rock drilling and hot rock circulation, and they did use fracturing in some cases, but basically that was to get between two wells. But you need to go and look at that website, which is available. There's loads of information there about geothermal heat and energy, and it's under Camborne School of Mines, which, surprisingly, is in Cornwall. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck. Bye.
Tony, thanks for that today. I want to go to Roger, who's with us on Man in Line. Hi, Roger.
Hello, Andy, and hello, gentlemen. From what Peter Taylor just said about his project in raising finance, what I would like to see is that people of the Isle of Man raise finance to project this project forward and not just rely on government, because I think that would be far too slow. So what I'm prepared to do, and I know it's just a drop in the ocean, I'm prepared to sell my premium bonds and put in £50,000 if the project could get off the ground.
Roger, are you thinking straight?
I think so. I think I'm a fairly level-headed guy, but I just get so fed up of nothing happening on the Isle of Man, and I was a bit disappointed with what David Quirk was saying, because I know he works with government and the biosphere. It just seems such a shame that we don't do something. So I want something to be able to be done. I want something positive to happen. And these gentlemen seem to be very positive to me, and therefore that's what I would. I would just cash in my premium bonds and put in the £50,000 from that to get this project off the ground. I hope other residents of the Isle of Man will think along the similar lines.
Okay, all right, we appreciate that, Fred.
I don't think we should forget that the government has put £45 million aside,
yes,
for looking at renewables. So
you think a few bob of that going down to Cornwall
save Andy's
to see what
premium,
yeah,
bonds.
Yeah, Roger, that's very, very kind of you to do that. And I think part of this is because, and I mentioned being ignorant and scientifically illiterate, because most people don't know this. You're professionals. You've done it for years. And most people just know they have to turn the switch on and their fridge has to work and their washing machine has to work and they want to drive some sort of vehicle in the future. And how we get there is by clever people doing things and getting to technologies that we haven't relied on for the past 100 years. Graham, tell us about these magic rocks and why we're so lucky. In your opinion, you mentioned some sort of rock formation. What is that?
Well, basically, the island is what's known as an uplift. It's been pushed up from below, basically, 6 to 10 million years ago at the beginning of the tertiary period, which was a huge phase in the Earth's history where all this sort of thing happened. Now, what happens is that granites form below the surface, deep down. Granite, believe it or not, is actually lighter than many of the rocks above it. So, and if you have a gravity survey, which shows you where it is, the gravity is actually lower over a granite mass than it is alongside. This granite mass has pushed up from below the subsurface. It's raised the island, which is geologically known as an inlier, which is much older rocks pushed up through younger rocks. And the granite is nearer the surface than it would have been had this never occurred. And the granite, of course, is, as we've said, is still red hot. Its heat radiates out. It has available heat far above its own existence, as it were. So this is a huge source of energy.
What did you feel when you first came to this conclusion?
I felt quite excited. I've, as a geologist, of course, I live down in Port Erin, and the cliffs there are just marvellous for a geologist to look at.
Well, here we are live with Graham Foxhume and Fred Gray talking about geothermal energy on Man in Line. If you've got anything you'd like to put forward, then call 661368, email studio@manxradio.com, or text 166177.
Metals, metals, iron beam metals. For steel, appeal. The number you need is for steel. That's metals. Metals, IMB Metals.
For structural steel and cladding, collection or delivery, with installation available too, just call 4Steel. That's 457881.
Metals, metals, IMB Metals.
This old house needed new windows. This old house needed a new door. And with DPM Conservatories, we got all that and more. Now our bills are lower, and the house is warmer too. We're cleaner and we're greener since we swapped our old for new. Stunning A-plus rated replacement windows and doors, expertly fitted by DPM Conservatories. Phone 612-333 or find them on Facebook and swap your old for new.
This weekend with Manx Radio, if you can guess who's coming to dinner, you could be going to dinner at the Manin Hotel. Check out the Manx Radio Facebook page this Saturday and Sunday and see if you recognise the celebrities in our carefully camouflaged photos. Then be listening across the weekend. When you hear the cue to call, text your name and the name of the celeb to 166177 for your chance to win dinner, bed and breakfast at the Manin Hotel in Douglas, with the winners drawn on Monday's Manx Radio Breakfast. Guess who's coming to dinner? Another winning weekend this weekend on your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 8 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Howard, you're live with Graham Foxhume and Fred Gray.
Hi, Randy. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Just, I haven't heard all of the programme, but it's interesting and it's very thought-provoking. But you keep saying there that they're going to circulate water. Now, the island, being an island, has a finite amount of drinking water, which we store in the reservoirs. But is it possible to use seawater in your, well, injections down to create steam without causing the contamination? Plus the fact that if they're going to use the surface water, then what are the chances of cross-contamination on the return and through the machinery?
Fred? It's a closed-loop system, so the water, the steam condenses through the turbine, goes back to water, and you put that back down the well. So it's really a closed system. You might have to top it up. You will have losses. I'm not sure that we could use seawater. It probably needs to be fresh water. But for the most part, it's a circulating system.
Yeah. And the island, I know as you drive around, there are huge areas where granite is there on the surface. It was actually quarried. What is the potential then for putting a geothermal well on the island itself?
Well, yes, I mean, why not is the answer. The drilling technology is available. I'm not aware of a location off the top of my head, but yes.
Yeah,
I know there was the quarry is not too far away from where you are now, down at Douglas Head. There was granite in there. I'm not saying that that's going to be suitable, but there was granite. I know when the quarry was working. But also, as we are an island, and we are unable to raise finances through the Bank of England, the monies for such a project would have to be raised privately, because the government could ill afford this, because if it went wrong, then the island would be bankrupt very quickly. And as that chap from Wales was just saying, they struggled to raise money. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be done. I'd love to see it done, and I think it's an excellent idea, but it's the little bits that cling onto it afterwards that cause serious problems.
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate that call today. Thanks for that. And I want to talk to that. In fact, I want to play the role of Doubting Thomas here, Fred and Graham. Is there any chance of depletion? Any chance that the thing might not work or run out?
Not for hundreds of years. If you read the actual website about the amount of energy in the centre of the Earth, and the amount of energy that we require to operate the Earth, you know, the full thing, it's minute, a percentage of the total energy contained within the body of the Earth.
Okay, completely, this is a layman's question again. Pardon me, Graham. How do you know which hole to drill? How do you know where to go?
That's a difficult one, because you could almost drill anywhere. This would be the point.
But that sounds too easy.
It is almost, in a way. As I say, I suggested
that it was like drilling for oil in Texas. You just put a well down and it pops up.
Yeah, I mean, the island is underlain, the whole of the island, so you could drill anywhere where it's best to sight the drill rather than the objective beneath.
And let me push you on this. Fred said you could put, you could bore a hole next to Paul Rose. You could bring the steam up next to Paul Rose and have it there.
Yes. Yes.
So we wouldn't need a new power station. You could just take the jets out of Paul Rose and put a condenser in there.
Well, even if you didn't drill the well there, you could easily pipe the energy to Paul Rose and bury the pipes. They wouldn't be sightly. They wouldn't be seen on the surface. They would just go directly into the power station as it exists.
Fred, how have you found the last hour? Did you enjoy it?
Very much. Thank you very much.
Okay. We're very pleased that you came in and brought this 2 hour, because until Graham sent us an email in, what is it, about a month ago?
Yes, thereabouts.
We'd never thought of geothermal. I don't know whether the government's even thought of geothermal, but you reckon that they should go to Cornwall, Fred, yeah?
I reckon they should do a bit of study on this and get a feasibility study done, use some of that $45 million to do that, and let's see if this is possible. If it is possible, what a resource for the island.
Yes, absolutely.
Good. Graham, thank you for being with us today. Graham Fox-Hume and Fred Gray, we've been talking about geothermal energy. If you want to pass a comment, by the way, email to maninline@manxradio.com. 682-630 is the answer phone number. We'll come back to this again in the future. There's loads about this. If you want to take a look on the internet, you'll be there for days. In the meantime, thanks to Barry Redfern producing Man in Line today, and there'll be another Green Future Man in Line in the near future. In the meantime, stick around. Christie's on the way after the news at 1 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.